Welcome back to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt, and we're brought to you by the California 1020, 10 miles, 20 bands, coming up on Sunday, February 15th, 2015. Del Mar Fairgrounds, Encinitas and back. Cal1020.com. Core Sports, for the very best in women's athletic wear. Go to coresports.com. And you can check out any of our interviews on Babbittville Radio on iTunes. Our next guest from the really creative idea called Try Habitat, Mr. Bill Scott. Bill, how are you?
I'm good, Bob. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. Now, you've been in this in the race directing business for a long time, correct?
Longer than I want to try and remember.
What got you into that?
Golly, Bob, I started racing in the early 80s. I was one of the Julie Moss influences. People, and did my first race in Dallas in 1982, and raced a lot in the 80s and 90s, and that's what got me into the sport. And then a buddy of mine in Dallas talked me into putting a race on in 1990, and he and I produced a race back in the Dallas area at that time, and that's what started it all. And then I went to North Carolina in 92 and saw kind of a void and an opportunity to put some races on, and one thing led to another, and it eventually turned into Set Up Events, our company.
So, and Set Up Events has done how many events over the years? Can you even add them all up?
Over 1,500.
Oh my God! And mainly triathlons, or triathlon, running, cycling, all the whole gamut.
Now that's 1,500 triathlons.
All triathlons. Wow. And talk a little bit about the growth, because people think about the hotbeds. They think of Boulder. They think of San Diego. But, you know, and obviously big races, New York and Chicago, huge races. But people don't think that much about your area of the country. But that area has grown significantly in terms of the population that's involved with multisport.
No question about it. If you look at USAT stats, you'll see that, I believe Virginia is ranked fifth or sixth or seventh, and North Carolina's right behind that, and Georgia's right there, too. So between those three states, which are what we call our setup region, because our races are put on from Maryland down through Georgia, it is a hotbed. I mean, our region represents 17% of the U.S. total in terms of triathletes. So we do have a big base of triathletes to draw from.
When you look back at the growth of the sport in your region specifically, what has led to the growth? Just more people getting into marathons and then moving on into triathlon? What do you think has led to the growth?
Well, you know, I, like a lot of people in the sport, have always said, we saw the big bubble kind of rise in 2000 after Sydney. I mean,
yes.
Our numbers shot through the roof in the early 2000s, and it just continued. And, you know, the growth continued right up through the end of that decade. And what we've seen lately is we've seen so many competitors that have come into our area and are putting races on. And this goes all the way from WTC coming in to local companies that have started up and are putting races on. So the amount of competition is just amazing in terms of the number of races that are available to triathletes today versus even 5 years ago.
Well, and the other side of it is we're talking entertainment dollar. We're talking run a marathon, run a half marathon, do a triathlon, and then we have a whole new sector. You can do a Tough Mudder, you can do a Spartan race, you can do something totally
Absolutely.
Different. And, you know, our folks are early adapters. They're going to try anything and everything.
Correct. You're right. And we've talked about that. And obviously all those things, the paint runs and
yep.
color runs,
yep.
I guess what they're called, all
yep.
that stuff is you know, we're all competing for the same dollar, for sure.
So when you look at the numbers and people go, oh, triathlon is flat, my feeling is that there's just so many more options out there that we have to obviously get more people, right? We need more
That's
people
right.
getting involved, not just with triathlons, but with the electric run, the color run, Tough Mudder, Spartan race, all of the above.
Yeah, no question about it. I think USAT statistics bear that out. I think I saw recently somewhere where from 2012 to 2013, I think you know, they continue to grow at about 5% growth rate. So, you know, the numbers still are going up, but like you said, the number of options available to people are 2 and 3 times that. So it's tough. It puts us in a position of having to be, you know, we have to put on good products and, you know, we have to market them well and do everything we can to try and make our races as successful as possible.
I've always felt one of the limiting factors for the sport of triathlon is, I mean, people are going to watch New York City Marathon this weekend. They're going to see 25,000, 30,000, 40,000 people running down the street. And reality is we can never do that. In the sport of triathlon, we can, you know, we'll never, you'd have to have LAX as your transition area if you wanted to have 10,000 people in your race. You just can't put that many bikes out there.
Right.
And so people look at it and go, well, it's a niche sport. It's a small sport. And, you know, my thought thinking has always been, if you compare a 1,000-person triathlon as an expo guy to a 4,000-person running event, you will sell more to those triathletes, than the 1,000 triathletes, than you will the 4,000 runners. That our people, one triathlete equals 4, 5, 6 runners in terms of what they will buy.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that for a second. And it'd be interesting to talk to some of the big expo people and find out what kind of stats they have on that. But I would tend to believe you on that.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about Tri-Habitat. It's interesting. I've always loved the concept of, you go to the Olympic Training Center and you see the pool and you see a little criterium type bike course and you see trails and you go, wow, this is like a specific triathlon venue. You're talking about with Tri-Habitat that you're going to basically have a facility that's triathlon 24/7, 365 days a year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, I actually got the idea back in the late 90s. USAT used to have some of their race director conferences or symposiums, whatever they call them,
yeah,
down in Claremont.
Claremont, Florida,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I remember one year I went down there, the first time I'd ever been to Claremont, to the USAT Training Center, and my impression was, I mean, it's a neat facility. They've got phenomenal, you know, indoor cardio equipment and all that. They've got that big 50-meter pool. They've got a quarter-mile track, but that's pretty much it. And I started thinking about, you know, the opportunity of doing something like this. And then over the years, we have, as a race producer, I have been constantly faced with situations where we're losing race venues, you know,
yes,
for whatever reason, growth,
construction,
you know,
whatever, yeah.
It gets continually more difficult and more expensive to put races on because of population growth. And so that's what kind of began to spur the idea of what if there was a place that was totally self-contained where you didn't have to, you know, deal with any of that. And so I kind of put the idea on the back burner for about 10 years and actually didn't really begin working on it until about 5 years ago.
And so you have land in North Carolina have you started to develop, or is this something that you're putting funding together to develop?
Well, we have actually started the process. We've got the land under contract, and the land has been approved by the local county commissioners, and that's another story for another day about our battle to get the land approved.
Sure.
We've had our engineering company on the land doing preliminary work and so forth. So not really sure what the timetable at this point is going to be for beginning construction. I would guess that we're months away. We're certainly still looking at a 2016 opening date.
Wow.
From the time we begin, from the day we put a shovel in the ground until we have our grand opening, is a window of 12 to 14 months to get everything done.
So you're talking about, it's 1,100 acres, North Carolina, a 25-acre lake, training facility. Will you have lodging there as well?
Yeah, well, we have a 20-room lodge and conference center as part of the complex.
And motorhome parking, so people, and you would set this up where people, you'd put races on there, camps on there. It sounds like basically an adult camp for, you know, adult Disneyland.
Bob, you just used the word that I've gotten in trouble for using for 5 years.
But I can say that because it's editorial.
On the East Coast, I've always used Disney World. That's the analogy I've always used with people. We are building Disney World for triathlon. That's exactly what we're doing. And that's the vision, is to have a facility where we can put races on and have a facility when we're not putting races on, which is obviously going to be the majority of the time, where groups can come in there, whether it's coaches bringing a group of 8 or 10 people in, or whether it's a big tri club in D.C. or New York or whatever that wants to drive down with 10 or 15 people. They can stay on the facility in the lodge. They can train there all day and night, of course, because we've got lights. So, you know, you're going to be able to race and train, you know, at nighttime. But that's exactly what the idea is.
So I was reading. So transition area stadium. What is a hairpin stadium?
It is no more than a concocted stadium for spectators that is right there at the main complex. So it's only, you know, 100, 200 yards away from everything else, where we bring the bike and the run course in at that point, about midway through the 14-mile bike loop and about midway through the 6.5-mile run loop, and we bring both courses through this stadium, and that's where we have the bike aid station. So we've kind of designed that stadium and the aid station,
yeah,
like a pit area at a super speedway.
Oh, so I love that.
You know, the bikes exit and they go into this pit area and they get whatever service they need and then they re-enter. And so it's nothing more than a way of creating another place for spectators to go and watch the action.
That is so cool. So the other thing I like about this is, you think about the number of folks who do training camps. They go to Hawaii, right? They go to Ironman course, or they go to Lanzarote. And now they have an opportunity to come someplace where, obviously, one of the biggest hazards all of us have is, you know, cars.
Biking. That's it.
That's the biggest thing. So how big is your bike loop?
It's 14 miles.
Yep.
And it's 14 feet wide. So it's going to be 2 feet wider than a standard interstate lane. So, you know, you can kind of get an appreciation of how wide that is.
Yeah.
All of us can kind of relate to that. And 14 miles long. And in a 14-mile bike loop, that's a pretty long bike loop.
It is.
You're not going to really get bored. And by the way, we'll run the bike loop to where if you came out there on a Monday, you might be riding it clockwise, and you come out on Tuesday and it's counterclockwise. So, you know, we have the ability to kind of mix it up to where it does change things a little bit.
So how far are you from, you know, from a major population area? So if people want to, you know, be able to come out there and just do a bike laps on a Tuesday morning or something?
20 minutes.
Oh, perfect.
We are about 20 minutes from the main hotel district in Wilmington near our university, which is University of North Carolina, Wilmington, and we're about 25 minutes from our biggest beach suburb, which is Wrightsville Beach.
Yeah.
And we're about 25 minutes from downtown Wilmington, which is where we stage the finish for the PPD Beach to Battleship race. So we're not more than about 25 minutes from all the major hotel areas in Wilmington.
The other side of that is for the East Coast, because we do, you know, paratriathlon camps out here on the West Coast, but having a location to potentially do something for paratriathletes where you're trying to get a lot of guys who are amputees or hand cycle guys, the safety on the bike is paramount with the car. So being in a controlled area to teach someone how to ride a bike or to use a hand cycle would be wonderful.
It's huge. And we've talked, obviously, about those type of opportunities, and we will be pursuing that. But you're right. I mean, the opportunity to come out and ride 14 miles and never have to worry about a car, never have to make a turn, it's just going to be amazing. You're talking about a bike course that's going to be, you know, virgin asphalt that'll never have a car on it. So, you know, it's going to be silky smooth the whole time with lightly banked turns and, I mean, corners, turns.
But, right.
Going to be a very enjoyable place to be able to come and ride.
So I know you're thinking triathlon, but I think you're going to be inundated with swimming groups, cycling groups, running groups, you know, who are doing camps, just for the fact that it's, again, it's close to it's a place you can fly into, and you're not having to deal with traffic and the rest of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we're certainly, you know, hoping that's the case, and that we're going to be targeting those groups to try and get, you know, activity down here. No question about it. And the other thing about Wilmington, that very, you know, people, one of the questions that we've read and we've heard and, is why Wilmington? And the only people that ask that are people that have never been to Wilmington.
Right.
Wilmington is a destination tourist city. I mean, we're right on the ocean. We've got beautiful beaches. You know, we've got phenomenal weather. I mean, you can ride outdoors in Wilmington comfortably 355 days a year. We don't get that hot in the summer because, again, we're right on the ocean and we have that kind of, you know, what the ocean does as far as, you know, tempering temperatures a little bit. And the other thing is that Wilmington is exactly halfway between Miami and New York. So, and they're only about 11 hours away by car. So you're in a location strategically that is within driving distance of virtually every major population center on the East Coast. And when people are traveling with bikes, as you and I both know, it becomes difficult and it becomes expensive. So the ability to be able to drive to this place and bring bikes that way is going to be, we hope, is going to be, you know, advantageous for us.
I love that, Bill. And so you're thinking early 2016, you guys will be open for business.
We hope. We hope. That's what we're targeting right now, unless we run into a curveball at the last minute. And believe me, I've seen a lot of curveballs in the last 4 years on this project. So I think I've seen all the curves, but that's what we're hoping.
Now, why, you know what's interesting to me, because you're talking about probably the healthiest people on the planet coming to this venue with nothing motorized. Why would anybody have a problem with you guys coming there?
Well, yeah. The are you referring now to the problem we went through with the first piece of property?
No. I don't even know anything about that. I mean, it seems like people should be welcoming you with open arms, going, "Oh my God, they're going to take this spot of land, this 1,100 acres, and they're going to keep it the way it is and build areas to swim, bike, and run." It's not like you're saying, "Hey, we're going to do motocross camps here."
Well, no, they are.
Oh, okay, you know, good.
The only problem we had was the first piece of property that we had identified a year and a half ago. We had a problem with access to that land.
Oh, I gotcha.
Didn't have the ability to be able to bring a couple of thousand vehicles in there on a Saturday or Sunday without enraging a lot of the locals that lived on these little two-lane roads that led to this piece of property.
Yeah.
The new piece of property that we have solved that issue because it's much closer to the interstate. And it has access right off of a major state highway. So we kind of eliminated the major problem that we ran into with the first piece of property.
Perfect.
But the local community is very, very excited and supportive about this idea.
I love it, Bill. I think it's going to be really fun.
It is. I can't wait to start, you know, putting a shovel in the ground and start building it because it is going to be a lot of fun to go through that process.
Can you believe where the sport has come from when you first got in it? Watching Julie and Kathleen in 82 and then doing your first triathlons and going, "Oh my God, look at where this sport is at now." It made the Olympics. You know, the sport started in 74 and was in the Olympics by 2000, which is unheard of.
It's amazing. It really is. And, you know, obviously we're looking into the future and we're, you know, trying to figure out where this company of ours, you know, that, obviously, Booker Poole, you know Booker well.
Very well, yep.
Booker is going to be our chief operating officer and going to be, you know, a big part of this company moving forward. But, you know, we're looking into the future and we're looking at where this might lead. And again, as a triathlon race director, thinking about 10, 15 years into the future and all the problems I've run into in the last 20 years, and it's just going to continue.
Right.
You know, I think we might be looking at a concept that might, I think you might be seeing more of these. potentially.
Well, I'll be honest. When we were putting on our Muddy Buddy series around the country, going to private venues was always a lot easier. Right? Anytime we were dealing with cities and counties and roads and, you know, then when cities and counties are hurting financially, then all of a sudden they look at us as event directors going, hey, how about a few extra bucks from these guys? Because they have to pay us. So,
right.
You know, I think that's what used to be, hey, these are charity, these events to raise money for charity. Let's help them out. Now it's let's get as much money as we can out of these guys.
We run into it all the time. And I know all my buddies around the country that are in this business are running into the same thing. It just, every year it gets worse.
It does.
And
yeah.
You kind of wonder, you know, as an industry, where are we going to be, you know, 20 years from now?
Well, and controlling your own destiny. You can control
Absolutely.
The water quality at your facility, right? You can control the roads. You can control every aspect of it. When you're dealing with cities, you can't. You don't have any control.
Yeah, no question about it. And Bob, think about the opportunity to come do a, let's say, an international distance race at this facility in March.
Yeah,
you're not racing at 7 in the morning. You're racing at 1 in the afternoon. You're able to race at the optimal time of the day, temperature-wise.
Oh, that's a great point. Because we have to get off the roads when you're in a city. You got to start at 7 in the morning.
You got to get off the roads. So at Trihabitat, you're going to be able to race based on time of the year. The races will be set up for the optimal conditions weather-wise for the participants. When we do sprint distance races in July and August, we're going to be racing at nighttime under the lights.
I love that. I didn't even think about that, Bill. That's really exciting. And USA Triathlon has to be ecstatic about this because they did use Claremont as a great hub for their training with a lot of their athletes, and you guys could be that.
Well, I can't go down that road and say too much, Bob, but we have been in discussions with them for a number of months, and I think you may be seeing some sort of an announcement coming out fairly soon on that.
Love that. Hey, Bill, thanks so much for taking time to chat. Congratulations on everything you've done. It's trihabitat.com for people.
Absolutely.
People
they can go to the website, yeah. And they can look at the video, and they can look at all the neat images and hopefully find out a lot more about this project. And you've got to promise me that you're going to come to our grand opening.
Oh, I wouldn't miss it. I wouldn't miss it. I'll wear my Speedo. I'll shave my back
please.
Before we start, you know, all the rest of that. Anything to embarrass
you. If you do that.
Exactly. That's what I've been doing for years and years and years. Bill Scott has been our guest. Again, it's Trihabitat, trihabitat.com. Hopefully we'll be seeing that open up in 2016, but check out the video online. It's really the next generation of triathlon, and I think it's really the wave of the future. Bill, thank you so much for taking time.
Bob, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Again, we are brought to you by California 1020, 10 miles, 20 bands, February 15th, 2015, Del Mar Fairgrounds in Encinitas and back. Cal1020.com is the website. Core Sports, the very best in women's athletic wear. And, of course, you can check out any of our interviews on Babbittville Radio on iTunes. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.